You know, the Lord's Supper was once called the love feast in the New Testament. It was a time when people who were hungry came together. But it was much more than just for the feeding of the people. As a matter of fact, the scriptures say that many were sick and many died because they took of the Lord's Supper unworthily. So this is a time when we come together as one people in a love fest, loving one another, recognizing one another, encouraging one another. It is a time when we come to remember Jesus Christ, our Lord. They came together for the love feast, and when they did, they were sometimes misunderstood. Sometimes we're misunderstood. People just don't get it sometimes. Why aren't you all just alike? Why are you black and white and brown? Why are you Asian? And why are you all you different people together in the same place? Because Jesus prayed in John 17 that we would be one. One flesh. When we get to heaven, I'm not going to look at Betty and see that she is a dizzy blonde. I'm not going to look at Jose Luis and see that he's shorter than I am. I'm not going to look at Paul and see that he's older than I am. Or almost anybody and say that they're younger than I am. I'm just going to see Jesus all around me. So we come to His table. He wanted to make it rich for us. He wanted to make this a very special moment for you. And this really is His gift to everybody. Today we gave out Bibles to those who were baptized. We gave out presents to those who had graduated. We gave out gifts to those who were fathers. We gave out gifts to grandfathers. We gave out gifts to our staff. This is the gift of God to all who believe. He wanted them to have a new sense of the Passover. The Passover was so important to the Jews because during the Passover, they were asked to do one thing in order that the firstborn child would not die. And that was to put the blood of the lamb over their threshold. They were to use a hyssop branch, the same kind of hyssop branch that was raised to our Lord's lips while He was on the cross. They were to dip it in the lamb's blood, and this is what they did. They made the sign of the cross thousands of years before anyone knew about a cross. And the death angel came and he passed over all of the people of Israel. He passed them over. Death was no longer their punishment because Jesus was going to come and die that we could live. He was going to be the true Passover lamb. And so He wanted to change the Passover so that we would know what this gift was all about. He took the bread. It was bread like this. This is called matzah bread. You see that it's very thin. It has no leaven to make it rise like other bread. Leaven was a sign of sin. There's no sin in this bread, if you like. This was very special bread because it symbolized the manna, the bread that God gave His people when they were in the place where there was no bread, when they were in the place where there was nothing for them, there in the desert, wandering around. Out of the sky came manna. They didn't know what to call it, so they called it manna. Jesus is the true bread that came from heaven. He is sinless. He came and was born in the city of bread in Bethlehem, which means city of bread. He was laid in a feeding trough that the whole world might partake of Him. And He said when He picked up this bread, "This is My body. This is a symbol of the body of Jesus Christ." And you can see His body in this bread. For it is sinless, and He was sinless. For it is pierced, and on the cross, His hands and His feet and His side were pierced so that His blood would flow and you would be those that partook of that great transfusion. He was the international giver, the one that blood covers all. It is striped because in the grilling process you see stripes, and by His stripes, the Scripture says, we are healed. He took our punishment. When the whips were slashing into His back and pulling off the flesh, exposing the bone, that was our punishment. That was my punishment. It was yours. And by what He did, you have been healed. He came to heal, to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal us from a life of sin. You know, my wife is British, and she's now an American. Praise God, we got her off that terrible island. Rains all the time, you know, it's terrible. They used to call her ancestors Limeys, because on the ships, as they would sail around, they would develop scurvy, which is what you get when you do not have enough vitamin C. And the cure for scurvy is vitamin C. And so they had limes, and they would eat limes for the vitamin C. In the same way, when you hold a piece of this in your hand, I want you to realize that you have lives of sin. And the healer of that sin is Christ. He's what you take instead of the vitamin C. He is what you take to heal your soul. And Jesus wants us to partake of Him. He wants us to be well. He wants us to be healed. Today, we break the bread. Once again, Jesus is broken for us. Once again, we see what happens to a sinless life. Crushed by the flesh. But as He held up that bread, He prayed a prayer that is said in every Seder meal, every Passover meal. He held up the bread and He said, "Blessed art Thou, our Lord, our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth the bread from the ground." Yes, He was telling us that Lord God made everything, that He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider, that He brings forth the things we need. But more than that, He was praying a prophecy, for He was the bread that went into the oven of the grave for us and came out again alive forevermore. We thank God, for He has brought forth the bread of life from the ground, that each of us might have life and life eternal. As you hold this bread in your hands, I want you to consider for just a moment as you hold it, and we'll all partake at the same time. I want you to hold the bread as they pass it among you. Go ahead and pass it out, guys. And I want you to think about how fragile that is. As though you were holding Christ Himself in your hand. You see, you have the ability. You have the ability to crucify Christ again. You can just go ahead and live a sinful life. Paul says, "Shall we crucify our Savior yet again?" He said, "Surely not. We shall not do that." For those of us who have once partaken are part of the body of Christ. Hold on to that piece of bread for just a moment. think about how fragile life on this earth is. As we hold the bread, Jesus told His disciples in that upper room, and He tells us today, take and eat. That was very hard for Jewish people because they would be called cannibals later because they partook of this meal. Because people would say, well, they eat the flesh of the Lord and they drink His blood. They're cannibals. It was so against everything they believed. But Jesus wanted them to know something beyond what they had ever experienced. He wanted them to know a new thing. Christ in you is the hope of glory. He said, if you do not partake of this, you are none of mine. We are to take Christ into us. He is the one by whose power we live and have our being. He is the one who gives us the strength to overcome. He is the one who loves us more than any person on earth can love us. He's the one who stands by us in hard times. We want Him in our life. And so let us pray and then partake. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank You for this gift. The gift of the symbol of bread, this bread that symbolizes the very flesh of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said this was His body, and who commanded us to take and eat, to put away all the other thoughts we had, all of our superstitions, all of our religion, all of everything, and partake of Him who is the true manna come from heaven. Father, where faith is in Him and in You, by Your Holy Spirit, may we now take this bread worthily, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And then He took the cup. The first time we see our Savior perform a miracle, it was a miracle of the feast of the wedding of Canaan. And at that feast where they were celebrating, He turned water into wine. Yes, my dear Baptist brother, water into wine. Good wine. I got one amen. He was saying it in His heart. The disciples had seen that happen. I'm sure that they were shocked to hear Him say that this wine was now His blood. But they knew that He had the power to transform, that He had the power to transform their lives and your lives, not only to bring the sick to health and the dead to life, but to take us who are dead in our sins and make us live again and live forevermore. He had the power to do it. He had the authority to do it. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who poured out every drop of His blood for everybody on this earth, because He wanted us all to partake of Him. We'll hand you these little cups. I have asked before, I ask again, how many of you will allow someone to cut you and drain this much of your blood for your enemy? And yet, while we were still His enemies, Jesus came and gave Himself for us. The blood of Christ is so significant, I can't even begin to do it praise or honor as it should receive. The blood of Christ is sacred. And He gave us this symbol that once inside of you, it might become a part of you, that become a part of your bloodstream, that it would be Him living in and through you. He told us not to forget who He was, but to remember Him through these things. And so today, as we partake of these cups of the blood, I want you to remember that it is a symbol of the life you willingly take within you, that Jesus has made possible for you. Jesus raised the cup. It probably was a cup much like this one, a wooden goblet. He said, "Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the ground and who creates the fruit of the vine." You and I are the people that Jesus was praying for we have been grafted in to the vine, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. We are His fruit. And when we go out and we do things that are not right, and the world looks at us and says, "Is that a Christian?" When we do things like that, we dishonor what God did for us. We're to be His fruit. Not the fruit that falls down on the ground and spoils, but the fruit that gives life and happiness and joy, comfort to the whole community of the earth. We're to be the fruit. And He was praying for us. As these go around and you hold the cup in your hand, I want you to remember who you are and whose you are. No one ever loved you like Jesus. No one ever gave His life for you like Christ. You belong to Him. And now He wants to return life into you. There are many toasts during the Seder meal. Steve Benno, who was raised in a Jewish home, used to conduct our Seder meal here at church. He used to talk about his grandfather getting a little tipsy after all the toast. And he liked to toast. Well, there is a toast, a Jewish toast. L'chaim, to life. It is what we recognize as Christians, is the toast of life, the toast that Jesus has given to us. For when He gave us all upon the cross, He gave to us eternity in heaven. By His stripes we are healed. By the blood that He shed we are covered and made one with Him. It is putting our faith in what Jesus did that brings us into the family of God. Jesus said, "Here, this is my blood given for you. Take it. Drink. L'chaim." Well, we couldn't let a time like this pass without at least inviting you to be a part of what we have celebrated here today. To be a part of Christ and His body. Maybe some of you have never been baptized. And you want to follow in believer's baptism. Let me tell you something about baptism. It's not optional. It's a command of God. If you trust God in your heart, then you want to display that publicly to the world. He says, "Those who proclaim me publicly, I will proclaim before my Father. And those who deny me, I will deny." There may be someone in this room that's never been baptized. Maybe you've received Jesus into your life, but you've never been baptized. We're going to let you have an opportunity to walk down the aisle and say, "Yes, the next time Oscar gets wet, we want to get in there with him. Next time we get Elton in there, we want someone in there with him. You want to see me get wet, you come." The fact is that this is a joyous celebration. It is a celebration that is obedience to God. There may be some of you who've never received Jesus Christ into your life. I once preached at a church. We rented the building. And they wanted to check us out. And so some of the elders of the church where we were renting came to watch our evening worship service. And during that service, a couple of the elders came to Christ. And I said to them, I said, "I don't understand. You've been a member of the church for years. You were a deacon, and then you were an elder. And How is it that you never came to Christ and asked Him into your life? And they both said, nobody ever told us we needed to. You don't have that excuse. I'm telling you, you need to. You need to receive Christ as your personal Savior. Don't leave this room without having Christ in your life. Don't leave this room unless you've made room for Christ. Don't leave here without Him. And so we're going to offer an invitation for you to come. We offer an invitation to join the church or to just come and pray. You know, come and kneel and pray. As often I look in here on Wednesday night, or I see people praying along the rail. That just touches my heart so much. For whatever reason, to rededicate your life for whatever purpose, we offer an invitation to the life that Christ has purchased for you. Life abundant. And we offer it this day in His precious name. Would you bow with me? Dear Holy Heavenly Father, as we come to this moment where we'll be dismissed in just a few minutes, but first, Father, I desire that there would not be anyone who would leave this place that wasn't right with You, that hadn't made it right. If there's someone who needs to receive You as Lord and Savior, may Your Holy Spirit call them, because if He doesn't call them, they can't come. There may be others who just need to come and pray, or need to come and rededicate their life, or need to come and join the church, or need to come and say, I want to be baptized. Whatever it is, Father, I know that the arms of Your Son, our Lord, are open wide to receive all who would come. So, Father, we ask, above all things, that You would be glorified in the next few minutes as we sing, along with the angels, Your hymn of invitation. Father, we just ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Would you stand for me for the invitation, please?